If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, turn to Luke 19. I feel expectation in this place this morning. The blood still has miraculous power. It still delivers. It still heals. So what do we do when we're full of expectation? Well, that's a question that's going to be answered this morning in the name of the Lord. Luke 19. Starting verse 1, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Amen. Today we're going to speak on the topic, press. Simple one-word title, press. Amen. You may be seated. And if we could play that video at this time, that would be great.
Train stuffing.
And this is in the country of Japan. I think I have decided to add this to my bucket list. Just to walk up and be like, to see the reaction of not only the train conductors or whatever they are, but also the people that I'm about to come in with. Amen. When you get on a train, there's an expectation that you are going to be taken from point A to point B. Despite the crowded environment, people are needing to get somewhere, and so they press in because they don't want to miss it. They don't want to get the next train. They want to get to point A or get to point B from where they're at. 2 weeks ago, Brother Carl spoke and made the statement, faith plus desperation equals victory. And in today's context, I want to rephrase that and say that expectation plus our action equals that expectation being met. You see, you can expect the light to go on when you flip the switch. I wake up and go to the kitchen at 5 in the morning to start a bottle, and there's a light switch. And I fully have expectation that that light will come on. But it's not until I flip the switch and actually take action that the light will actually go on. Do you want healing? We need to press on board the train that's headed there. Do you expect a harvest? We need to press our way. As we continue on this year exploring the different areas of expectation, we must keep in mind that there needs to be action on our part. We do need to press. I've never been to Japan. I've never experienced the train stuffing phenomenon, but in the fall of 2014, 16 months ago or so, as a last family gathering before my folks retired from 40-plus years of missionary work, in Europe, we all went to Greece for a week, and well, unlike the U.S., except maybe the big cities in the U.S., over there, transportation, it's all over, and they've got very developed systems, and so we did take the metro pretty much everywhere we went. And one morning, we got to the metro station probably at the wrong time because there was a ton of people there, and we made our way down the escalator, and we wanted to get on this train, and it was pretty packed. And so we're like, instead of all eight of us getting on the car like we normally did, we're like, we're meeting in, you know, or getting off in two stops. Everyone just get on. And so I made my way down. I saw this little opening about three cars down. I make my way, and it was just like, okay, this is enough room for me and no one else, and I'll be comfortable. And so I just pull in expecting the doors, and then my brother-in-law, unbeknownst to me, is following me. And he's like, get in, and just pushes me straight in. And so there I was now, pressed up against a fellow Greek. I am Greek of heritage, and was uncomfortable and awkward for the trip as I was squished with my brother-in-law behind me and squished in front. Not quite as bad as this, but I did learn a few things about what happens when you press on board a train that can apply to us as we press and in our expectations. Can I tell you on that day on the metro in Greece that I was reminded that not all people have the same hygiene standards that we do. I came to face with uncleanness and enjoyed it for a few stops. When we are pressed in, we will come face to face with the reality of ourselves. When we press for the Lord, when we press toward God, God will reveal the stank. He will reveal the dirt, the things in our hearts, our minds, our lives that need to be cleaned up. As we are expecting God's working in our lives and we expect an eternal reward in heaven someday, God has expectations for our behavior, our actions, how we conduct ourselves, how we speak to others. The manual of life is our book of expectations that we can look and measure ourselves up against. Amos 7:7-8, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so slightly different than what's on the screen, but it says, then he showed me, this is the prophet Amos, he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? I answered, a plumb line. And the Lord replied, I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins. There is an expectation that God has for us, a plumb line, so to speak, that he puts in our lives. Matthew 7:14 describes it, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. What should our response be? Luke 13:23-24, then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter it and shall not be able. The word strive here, since we're talking about Greece, comes from the Greek word agonizome, which means to struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary, to fight or labor fervently. So again, let's read that. We said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Are we fervently laboring to enter in at the straight gate? When we press in to see our expectations come to fruition, God is going to show us the room for our improvement in our lives. And so we've got to strive to clean up our act and correct our behavior, get in line with him. Pastor Seidel a while back said that we will be judged, when he was preaching, he said that we will be judged on how we respond and what we did, not compared to anyone else. What matters is, where do I stand according to the word of God? And he uses scripture, 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. We need to test ourselves according to the word of God, according to the plumb line that he has set in place. And that is maybe one reason why folks don't press. They want the healing. They expect it. They know God can do all these things. They see in scripture, and we're going to get into all of these as we go through the year, but they see it, yet they don't want to press. Why? Because they don't want to be exposed. they don't want to get in and be like, oh, that stinks. Woo! Get some deodorant. There's a guy I want to buy a Costco-sized pack of deodorant for in Greece. Amen. But we don't want to face that. But that's what happens when we press. Another thing I realized on the metro that morning in Greece is that when you press in, you're not going anywhere. When we press forward with expectations, oftentimes we may face a season of waiting. Pastor, maybe I should just skip this section. Pastor talked about this. Why? Because there's a timing element associated with God working in our lives. It may be today. It may be next week. It may be next month. But there is an expectation that something's going to happen. Sometimes we see our expectation come to fruition immediately. But other times we need to wait. Psalms 130, 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You have an expectation for the morning, and it's like, come on, just let the sun peek over the horizon and the birds start to chirp, and it's a new day. And there's those that are waiting for the early bird, and or the early bird gets the worm. Nature shows us this. There's an expectation, but he's saying more than that. My soul waits for the Lord, is yearning and waiting. Psalms 107, 27, these wait all upon thee that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. In due season, we're going to get that provision. We're going to get what we're expecting. Filled with expectation, taking action, we should enjoy the journey. Too often, we want a microwave God instead of a slow cooker God. We should linger in his presence if that's what he has for us. We press onto the train of expectation, and our stop may only be one stop away, but it may be 10 or 20. Whatever the case may be, soak up what God has for you in that time, what he has to show you along the journey. Man, it was a long wait for Fiona and I for God to tell us what to do as far as children. We waited and waited and waited for the Lord. Like, what do you want us to foster? Do you want us to adopt? You just want to say, you know what, that's not your plan for our lives. And it was just a wait, and that's all we did. For 3+ years, just waited. And they're looking back. There's so many things that in those times of waiting, God spoke to us, God encouraged us, God moved in a mighty way. Did we see what we were expecting, what we wanted, what we were expecting God? No, we didn't see it right away. But 3 years down the road, it was so sweet when the word finally came and said, oh, great, push on the door of adoption. And just to look back and say, man, those were actually great times. Yeah, there was a lot of what in the world, what's happening? But there was a lot of joy, a lot of things that we gained in our spirits from the wait. When you're needing a work in your life and you expect that work to happen in your life, but you don't see things work like you want them or think they should, it can be tiring and overwhelming. And you begin to doubt and like, well, maybe I shouldn't expect it. Maybe God doesn't want it for me. But Isaiah 40, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Embrace the wait. You're pressing in. You have nowhere to go. You're stuck on the train. And it's like, all right, God, teach me, show me. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. The last thing that was clear after our adventure on the metro in Greece is that at some point we arrived at our destination. We pressed on the train expecting to get from point A to point B. And you know what? We did get to point B. We did see that expectation come to fruition in our lives. We will see God's work in our lives when we press. 2 Chronicles 31, 21. Again, in the New Living Translation, it says, in all that he did in the service of the temple of God and in his efforts to follow God's laws and commands, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly. As a result, he was very successful. We may come face to face with a mess in our lives that needs to be cleaned up. We may need to linger, but ultimately, according to Matthew 7:7, if we ask, we are going to receive. If we seek, we're going to find. If we knock, the door is going to be opened to us. If we're wholeheartedly pressed in to God's train, to God's way of doing things, we are going to be successful. We are going to see that miracle come to pass. We are going to see those blessings, the harvest in our lives, our children saved, our family members saved. We are going to see all these things. Expectation plus our action, our pressing is going to meet, be a result of our expectations being met. At the core, the concept of pressing is not an easy one. When you press charcoal, you may get diamonds, but it's a long, arduous process of extreme pressure. When you study out the anointing oil in the Old Testament, it was full of spices and aromatics, which may seem like an easy concoction to put together. But if you research it, there was a message that my wife heard from Sister Melanie Schock a few years back, and she talked about that process, and the process to create the anointing oil took immense amounts of pressure and a crushing of the spices. We want great works in our lives. We expect great works in our lives, but when we press for it, there will be some uncomfortableness as we face the unclean in our lives, as we wait on the Lord. But there will also be some obstacles as we press into our expectation. As I watched that video of the train stuffing in Japan, my question was, what does the individual do who's in the middle of the car or on the far door? And it's like, I got to get out. I'm actually really curious. Like, what do they do? They all just get out and then come back. What do? They have to push through. They're already expecting to get to their destination. But when they finally get there, there's an obstacle, a sea of people that I'm assuming they have to push their way through. Or maybe they have the system and they're smart and it's like everyone gets off, you know. And sorry, we're moving on. I don't know. I'm just, that's what I was thinking. That's my curiosity. Or jump over the top. I saw someone going like this. Maybe they're jumping over the top. You know, like, woo. Amen. In the world of expectation, we press through the mental aspect of understanding that we can find all these things in God. We get on board with our expectation, but we may have to press through some other obstacles. In our opening scripture, we read the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus Canopus is his full name. Here's a guy who was basically a traitor to the Jewish people. He was a tax collector working for the occupying oppressive Roman government. Jesus had been doing great things, Zacchaeus hears about Jesus and that he's coming through town, and there's just one problem. He was short. He was short. And everywhere that Jesus went, there were crowds that followed him. And he's like, okay, I want to see Jesus. I want to have the chance to just see him and see what's going on. But I can't see over everybody. I was blessed with, you know, shortness. And so there was no way he was going to see Jesus. And there was going to be the physical obstacles that he had to press through. And we may face some physical obstacles. Maybe it's simply tiredness in the morning that you have to press through to wake up. Every one of us face that. And that's a determination every day. Am I going to press through to see, get a hold of Jesus, or am I going to just be like, you know what? Man, it was a long night. And so I'm going to go back to sleep and press snooze and, you know, set my next alarm to go off. And, you know, some folks have like 30 alarms on their phone and they just hit snooze, snooze, snooze. I see some nods, heads nodding, amen. Maybe you're needing a touch physically and you have to press through that physical ailment to reach out to grab hold of Jesus. I think of Sister Shelley Weber. I don't see her here this morning, but Pastor talked about her healing a couple weeks ago. And the Lord, she was up here praying and the Lord said, hey, start dancing. And she's like, God, it's my foot. You know, I'm putting words in her mouth. I'm sure she didn't say this. I'm sure she's like, all right. But if it was me, I'd be like, God, yeah, dance. My foot is hurting. I need healing in my foot. That's required to dance. And one, you know, foot dances are awkward. So God, you know, but God spoke to her and said, hey, dance in the spirit. And so she danced. He's like, run. It's like, oh, my foot, God, you didn't understand me. My foot. No, but she pressed through that physical ailment. It's interesting that there's so many scriptures where the Bible talks about, you know, the lame man is on the side of the road and it doesn't say, all right, in Jesus' name, you know, you're healed. And they're like, ooh, no, it's just like, get up. It's like, you don't understand, disciples. I'm lame, thus the need for healing. Do you not I'm lame. Let me talk a little slower. I can't get up. But no, it was that simple, like, okay, I'm going to get up. And that pressing through the physical ailment, though I don't feel like it, though I maybe supposedly can't medically, I'm going to press. I'm going to get up. Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He had an expectation of what one visit with Jesus would do for his life. And so he went out to see him, pressing forward in an expectation. When faced with his physical obstacle of his height, he pressed through that physical obstacle, climbed a tree. And Jesus, like, look, there's a guy in the tree. No one else is in the tree. He, like, must need me. And he goes over and says, hey, come on, let's go. Let's go have dinner. Let's go talk. One encounter with Jesus. Why? Because he said, you know what? I can't get through, so I'm going to go up. And no one else was in the tree, and he was the noticeable one, and God met him. He had an encounter. He pressed through that physical obstacle and had an encounter with Jesus that day. Amen. Let's read the familiar story of the blind man named Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples. This is Jesus, and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Hey, just be quiet. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in his way. Perhaps it's not a physical obstacle you must press through. Yeah, you know, Bartimaeus did have the physical part. He was blind. But rather, if you look in this story, there was a societal obstacle. As a blind man, Bartimaeus was relegated to the side of the road. He was limited to begging, depending on the charity of others. There was societal expectations and proper behavioral expectations for a blind man such as Bartimaeus. Thus, the reason the Bible says that many were like, dude, be quiet. Blind man, don't talk. You just beg, okay? We'll throw you some bread. We'll throw you some money, you know, but Jesus is not for you, you know, You got a lower social status. If you look, I've heard messages preached about he cast away his garment. The garments described and kind of set up where he was in society. And blind men don't shout out. Know your place. And you may be here this morning with a need in your life. And the final obstacle that you have to press through is your peer group. Your peer group that would mock you, that you would turn to a spiritual experience for the answer. Society says medicate them up. Society says psychoanalyze them. Society says institutionalize them. But God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Maybe society's saying, you don't need to go that route. We need to first try medicine. Great, doctors are awesome. I'm hopefully getting my gallbladder removed sometime soon, praise God. You know, but, you know, and I encourage that if that's the route to go. But first we should search and seek after the Lord. And say, you know what, yeah, society may say that, you know, my peers may, you know what, church is, you know, all religion. And, you know, the latest CD, it's not in my notes, but I haven't looked into, but Kirk Franklin just put out a CD called Losing My Religion. And it's all about just, you know, he doesn't want. Can't even think of the word, and it's right there. It's like, no. Amen. But some folks see, like, you know what? I don't want to look toward religion. You know? Oh, it's just a religion. That's just the, you know, bureaucracy. That's just, you know, politics and, you know, all this stuff. No, there's a spiritual experience that God wants for us. If we would seek after him and say, you know what, society? I'm going after it. I'm going after it. Forget separation of church and state. I'm going after God, no matter the situation. Amen. Bartimaeus had to get his miracle. He had heard about this man named Jesus, about the many miracles he had performed, and Bartimaeus had an expectation. He cried out. He pressed forward in that expectation. But when society told him to be quiet, he pressed through that societal obstacle and had an encounter with Jesus that day. Amen. Finally, let's check out this story in Mark chapter 2. It says, and again, he entered in Capernaum after some days. And again, this is Jesus. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Moving down to verse 11, it says, I say unto thee, this is Jesus speaking, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Can you imagine this place being packed out? Wall-to-wall people, library full, conference full, fellowship hall full, kids' rages, all the, you know, overflow rooms with everyone watching on the screens. No one can get here. People are in the things. And all of a sudden, pastor's preaching, and we see this beam of light. And we're like, oh, it's God. And then we realize, no, someone's, like, breaking through the roof. Like, went up there, climbed up on the roof, you know, tore away the shingles, you know, all the insulation. It'd probably be a lot harder these days. This story probably would not be if the Bible was written in these days. But anyways, you know, accidentally get into the air vent, so they move over and start again, and, you know, and then they begin to lower their friend down, and we're like, dude, don't, hopefully you have enough rope, you know, like, don't drop them. Talk about a tenacity. Talk about pressing through an environmental obstacle. They couldn't get in the house through the front door or the back door or the windows, so they tore a hole in their roof and got in that way. I wonder who was the bright guy of the group of friends, and they're like, dude, we should climb on the roof. And I totally see, like, James Novak, you know? I don't see him in here. Like, bro, let's go on the roof and tear a hole in the roof. You know, mind blown. What part of your environment is blocking your way into seeing your expectation come to pass? What roof do you need to tear off as you press for what you're expecting? I would hope that if this place is ever packed and you are desperate for a miracle, that you would go ahead, climb on this roof, get enough rope, tear a hole in it. But I know this, if you do, expect to be healed, expect to be able-bodied, and when we have a work day the next day to fix the roof, expect to be here and help fix the roof. Amen. The musicians could come. One thing I've learned with raising a kid these last 4 months is that every few hours they get hungry. Josiah is no different. The thing about him is that he has an expectation that dad or mom will feed him. But you know what? We don't sit around with a bottle strapped to a, you know, utility belt or, you know, like concealed carry bottle and, you know, checking every 2 minutes like, you hungry? Okay, cool. You hungry? No. You hungry? No, if he's cooing all sweet and smiling at us, talking, drooling, giggling, slobbering, we don't feed him because he's fine. But it's when he cries out that we feed him. All of a sudden, Josiah realizes, I'm hungry. It's like, you know, like, everything's fine. And it's like, oh, man, my stomach's empty. He realizes his need for food, and he takes his expectation that dad or mom is going to feed him, and he cries out. It's his action. It's him pressing. It doesn't matter if he's asleep, a physical obstacle. He'll wake up and cry out. It's like, dude, you're sleeping. Like, go back to sleep. No. It's like you stick the nook back in. It's like, please, 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 fall asleep, fall asleep. It doesn't matter if dad and mom try to convince him that all other babies go longer between feeds and he really should just chill out. Societal obstacles. No, he cries out when he's ready. It doesn't matter if he's in the dark at night, if he's in a swing, if he's in our arms, if he's swaddled up in a onesie, pajamas, at church, at home, at a friend's house, while we're shopping, while we're driving, all environmental obstacles. No, he'll cry out, no matter the environment, no matter the situation. And can I tell you, he may need to be changed first because he made a mess of things in the interim. Clean it up. He may need to wait that 6 minutes while the bottle warms up and dad is praying that God speeds up the clock. But you know what? Dad and mom come through with that food just as he expected that they would. He just had to press a little, just had to make it known. I want something. I'm going to push through my sleepiness. I'm going to push through my environment. I'm going to push through what dad and mom are trying to tell me that other babies do, society. Amen. If you would stand with me, and as a praise team begins to sing, Zacchaeus pressed and climbed a tree. Bartimaeus pressed and shouted out to Jesus. The lame man's friends pressed and climbed to the rooftop and tore a hole in the roof. We can go on and on in the stories. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of the garment. Friends, we too much must press to see our expectation fulfilled. So what is it that you need this morning? Maybe you haven't heard about all the things listed on here and how we can expect them. Well, we haven't been flushing out, but I can tell you that the Bible does say, by his stripes we are healed. And so I would encourage you, if you need a healing this morning, how do you press? You know, it's not going to be like the train up here where you just will push you up. No, just come on up. Come to the front. On this side, on the left, if you need a healing. And that's your action of pressing. Saying, you know what? I'm going to step out. I'm going to step out and believe that God is a healer. God is a miracle worker. And ministers will come and pray with you. The Bible says that he came to bring deliverance to the captive. And so I encourage you, if you need deliverance, if you have a situation in your life, right here in the middle, again, just step out, press your way. Just say, you know what, God, I'm going to go to you for deliverance instead of trying to figure this situation out on my own. And folks will be here to pray with you. The Bible says that he came to bring us new life and life more abundantly. And so I would encourage you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, had your sins washed away, had your life cleaned up, come on down, press your way. Just step out on the right here. Folks will pray with you. Help walk you through, help talk with you, help lead you to salvation. Won't you press, take an action, just one foot at a time, in front of you, down to the altar, down to this place down here, this area up front, and God will meet you. God will meet your expectation. God will meet the expectation in your heart that, God, I need it. I'm going to cry out to you. Maybe he'll call you to clean up your life tonight right down here. Maybe he'll call you just to wait and to soak him up today. But won't you press? Won't you meet him here? And he will meet you in turn. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's find a place to pray this morning.